Lord.
Previously in A Fond Kiss by Alice Dale, Craig had been avoiding his speech therapy sessions until music arrived from his mother. He and Pamela sang duets together and exchanged bits of information about their lives. And Pam told him she was playing piano for the Christmas concert.
They've been rehearsing the Christmas concert for months while you were going through your plastic surgery and speech therapy and avoiding everyone. I think some of their sketches are pretty wild. I've hardly any civvies left. They keep borrowing them. Needless to say, only the small ones can get into mine. Guys dressed as women are always good for a laugh. Mind you, I don't know what the scripts are like. I only rehearse the music.
Sounds fun.
It is. But they've one big problem. They haven't enough sketches to fill the programme. They need more musical items in between. Actually, at the last rehearsal after they'd heard you singing...
No, definitely not.
Why not?
Because I'm not ready. He fired back with every word crystal clear.
And when will you be ready, eh?
He just shook his head. She said nothing. But her disappointment was obvious, and in the silence that followed, he remembered what she'd said when she found him under the tree.
God gave you a wonderful voice, Craig. Not wanting to share it is downright selfish.
He took a deep breath and straightened his back. All right, if you'll play for me.
Did you say play for me or pray for me?
Both, he shot back. But he seemed to enjoy the joke.
Of course I'll play for you. I'm playing the whole show.
The decision made, they grinned at each other for a moment, and then she flung her arms about him in a giant hug. With hands still tender, he couldn't reciprocate properly, but he placed them on her shoulders and bent his head so their cheeks met. She needed no further encouragement. Lovingly and very gently, she kissed him on his scorched mouth. The kiss extended well beyond a sisterly kiss. She felt him start to shake. She hugged him again and laid her head gently against his shoulder. He bent over and kissed her hair. Pippa and David sipped their tea silently. Then, looking down into her cup, she said quietly, OK, let's hear your version of it.
It's not a version. I'm going to tell you the truth.
I'm sorry. Go on, then. After another gulp of tea, David gathered his thoughts and began.
Yes. I do have a wife. Sort of.
What does sort of mean? You're separated.
Completely.
Since when?
Since she walked out on me.
She walked out on you? Which gave away her feelings that a woman who would leave David was mad. But she simply asked, what happened?
I better start at the beginning. When I was called up, my medical showed a mild heart murmur. It isn't serious. Lots of people live with a heart murmur all their lives. But as far as the army was concerned, I wasn't fit enough to serve.
They turned down Stan because he was a mild diabetic. He was furious. He had no idea he had diabetes. I was quite relieved when he joined the ARP instead, imagining that was much safer. How ironical that he was killed right here in Glasgow.
Yes, that was terrible. But, unlike your Stan, I was glad not to be conscripted. I just hated the idea of fighting. Anyway, rightly or wrongly, I expected a wee bit sympathy from my wife when she heard about the heart murmur, like you did just now. Instead, she said,
"Maybe that's been what's making you so lethargic recently. I mean, let's face it, David, you really have become very dull. Perhaps my news might cheer you up a bit."
"What news?"
"I've been accepted for the ATS.
But women haven't been called up."
"Not yet, but that will change if the war goes on much longer."
"So you volunteered? Why? And why didn't you tell me?"
"Because I thought I'd get the exact reaction that I'm getting."
"That's because you didn't tell me. If you'd told me when you were thinking about it, we could have discussed it."
"And you would have said what exactly?"
"Oh, I don't know. I wouldn't have wanted you to go, naturally, but if you'd convinced me it was what you really wanted, I wouldn't have stood in your way. Were you afraid of being left on your own if I went into the forces?"
"Something like that. But if I'm honest, I felt I was ready for a little excitement. You have to admit, we live a pretty monotonous life, David."
"Perhaps if we'd had a child, things would have been different."
"I see. You think that having a baby is exciting. Well, it isn't. It's all nappies, feeding through the night, refusing social invitations. No, that's one thing I've never regretted."
"What are the others? That you married me?"
He waited in vain for her denial.
"Well?"
"David, I know you're trustworthy, reliable, kind."
"I hear a but coming."
"But you're awfully dull, David. You never take any risks or..."
"Well, what? I don't throw money about buying things in the never-never to impress people?"
"You wouldn't even let Daddy lend us the money for a bigger house with a garden."
"We already have a mortgage on this flat. I couldn't afford to add to that. My teacher's salary allows us to live comfortably, not luxuriously. But we have all we need."
"All you need? I'm afraid I need more than that. We don't even have a car."
"We never needed one. We're close to public transport. And now the war is on. There's no point in buying one because of petrol rationing."
"Oh, I know. But it's all so frustrating."
"Did you stop to wonder if the army might be even more frustrating?"
"At least it'll be different. And I doubt very much if it'll be boring."
"When do you go?"
"I report to Maryhill Barracks a week on Monday to start basic training. And I'll be living in, of course."
Now Pippa spoke. "And you haven't seen her since?"
"Neither seen nor heard. Oh, except for a very brief letter saying she had qualified as a driver and was being moved south."
"But you never mentioned her, even before all that. Look, I can't keep calling her. What's her name?"
"Gloria." I used to think how well it suited her. I thought she was glorious."
"How long have you been married?"
10 years. "She was 19. I was 32 and madly in love with her. The age difference didn't seem to matter."
"And are you still madly in love with her?" She didn't care for the long pause that followed.
"Oh, I think I would be if she hadn't changed so much."
"In what way?"
"Well, not physically. I mean, she's still a stunner."
Pippa flinched inwardly at that word. partly because she knew Stan would never have called her a stunner, and partly because these revelations were opening up a chasm between them. Whoever said it is always best to tell the truth?
But inside, she became so materialistic. She always wanted to appear sophisticated, which meant lots of possessions. She quickly realized the teacher's salary couldn't cover all her needs, so she took a course in shorthand and typing and landed a job in a legal firm. And that was the real start of the rot.
Thank you.